Welcome back to Blank Canvas. I'm Diana Sands.
And I'm Douglas Barkey. Your co-host.
Yeah, so we're in studio with John Cox, curator extraordinaire of the NE10.
And we are having a fascinating conversation about the theme of this NE10, which is mercy. And John has been telling us about kind of the inspiration for the theme, how he sees it being a really a national dialogue about mercy and the timing of it, which is kind of a perfect element right now. So, John, you've gone about selecting the artists. So I had a question. One, how'd you go about the selection as you tied the theme into the artists? And then tell us also about how you thought through this process of invitation. Because right. One of the things you mentioned earlier, too, was the fact that this is going to be like a national performance piece. You're seeing how the dialogue about mercy happens not only in the show and the gallery, but you're hoping it inspires dialogue around the country.
Sure, yeah. So to unpack the first thing that you said about the selection of the artists, right? So I guess that gets more instinctual the longer you're in the industry, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been working in the industry for a long time now. It's like well over 25 years, right? So you have a sense of the history of people who are participated. Like I mentioned in the context of the NEs at NAGB, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, everybody knows I'm also a practicing artist as well mm-hmm. as this art administrator person. Right. So I think I've been in eight of the NEs and mm-hmm. I curated. This is the second
You've
one
been
I've
on
curated.
Both sides of the-
I've been on both sides yeah. of the coin, right? So I have a sense, if I do have one thing that I think is working for me, is I have a sense of what I think, what types of opportunities and challenges meet the needs of certain types of artists, right? And so in selecting the artists, you know, I'm watching. I'm certainly not a gatekeeper. I'm not, you know, anybody other than just another person in the creative community. But, you know, I've just been watching, right? There's a whole lot of new developments in the fabric of the local art community, all the new galleries, and you watch developing, and you see all this new emerging talent. And then you also have to feel like the NE exhibitions need to be somewhat aspirational, right? Mm-hmm. I think we get into a difficult space when artists begin to feel like entitled to be in the show because I'm a Bahamian and this is a national exhibition, so I should be in the exhibition. And mm-hmm. it's not really like that. And so, you know, you're looking at a cross section of people that mm-hmm. that deals with age and discipline and, you know, kind of philosophical approach and, you know, kind of representation in terms of, you know, what the work has historically explored. And then also past participation, you know, and just kind of mixing mm-hmm. those conversations together. And it doesn't mean that, hey, if this might be, you know, your third show or fourth show and you happen to be selected to be in the NE, that could happen for sure. Mm-hmm. It may also be somebody else who's an artist who's been in every single other NE up until this point. Right. This may be the 10th one for some people that they've been in mm-hmm. and they should be in it because they're just actively engaged in it. You know, I think that it's about the desire of the artist to be in the show, because I mean, I think you would be surprised to know, it's not a done deal. If you invite somebody, they don't necessarily say yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they say no. right. And so it's the sword is sharp on both sides. Right. Mm-hmm. So to invite people does not necessarily remove you from the criticism of the final roster, because you can also make an open call, which mm-hmm. means you need to be then, you know, saying no to people, which is different from
criteria,
which is different from not being asked, mm-hmm. you know, for a variety of reasons. So, you know, you measure those things. That's just the nature of a booming art community. That's one of the things that comes along with us being a strong community.
Yeah, and you know, from what you're saying about just the theme itself, it calls for diverse points of view, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's really what you're looking at when you think about creating a dialogue around the theme, a national conversation. Mm-hmm. It's got to have different points of view. That's what would make the show exciting. So I think that ends up being one of your criteria for sure.
Yeah.
So, oh, tell me about the invitation, because that was kind of the start of it, the way you started it, is pretty innovative the way you went about it.
Yeah, so basically I wanted it to be, you know, I like everything to feel like a studio process, right? And it's just like a conversation that two artists have in a studio and they start, you know, dialoguing about something and then all of a sudden work start getting made around this idea. Oh, remember we were talking about that thing? I saw this and look at this. I painted this, or I molded this thing. And so I wanted to spark the curiosity of the participants by inviting them to this thing that intentionally was a little bit kind of, I guess, maybe vague in the beginning. Like, you know, what is this? Like the show is going to be about mercy. Here are these quotes that, you know, are around mercy, or these like excerpts from song lyrics or whatever that would kind of go out towards these artists, and they would be like, wow, what is this about? Like, I want to learn more about what this is. And I recognize that there's a danger, you know, in that, because some people nowadays, everything's so like information driven, and I need to have like the steps and, you know, what do I need to do and by when and everything else. But so we created what almost looked like a postcard, right? And sent these postcards out to, digital postcards out to the or the desired participants to say, hey, you know, we'd like you to consider being a part of the exhibition. And that process is ongoing. We're just about done reconciling all of that, but I think we're moving, definitely trending in the right, in a very good direction to have a very strong roster of artists. But, you know, the whole communication strategy is to then reveal more and more context, more thorough information, ask more questions of them about, that will bring, I think, their personal kind of context to the exhibition in terms of just their thinking, and how that can inform, I guess, my curatorial process in like framing up the exhibition, but also to individualize their response, right? So I think that's been something that has been unique and not so different from any 10. I mean, from any 6. I think those people who are involved in any 6 with me said, boy, this feels almost like the sequel to that. It feels like a building, like it's like this is the next level to that, because that conversation was managed a lot like this. And it's very visual, you know, and then we were also doing fun things like I'm categorizing, like compartmentalizing the exhibition symbolically with these quotes and with these like animal symbols that kind of makes the whole narrative seem kind of folklorish, you know, which I think then just makes a fun lens through which the viewer can look at the work. So that's all going to be revealed more and more to the artist and also more and more to the public as we move forward.
Yeah, and the artist to be inspired. I mean, the invitations were provocative in that way because they had minimal information, but they had that kind of that information to trigger the thinking and where the direction of this exhibition. Can you tell us more about those mercy verses or quotes? I mean, how should artists respond to these statements? Are they supposed to be illustrations?
What's no, no, no. They're not really intended to be illustrated. You know, basically, I mean, so I can read the quote, one of the first quotes that inspired when I made the original proposal months ago to the NAGB. And the quote goes, "The quality of mercy is many times born from the trembling desire to transform our pain and tragic disappointments into empathy, solidarity, forgiveness, and resurrection." And I thought that this was such a kind of profound statement, this idea that our profound and tragic disappointments just felt like, I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic or negative about things, but I think that we just need to be like honest collectively. Mm-hmm. And it feels like when you talk about tragic disappointments, but being able to kind of transform those things and transcend those things into forgiveness and resurrection and empathy, this big one, was one that I was just like, wow, this is powerful stuff. And I mean, one thing that I know about, I mean, one thing that I've experienced, I guess, over the last 25 years is artists don't really like to be told what to do.
If you want
an artist to do, I ask them to do something, and they will do the opposite of that thing. And so I kind of feel like really what I'm doing here is just creating the lens.
Right.
The artists are going to do what they're going to do anyway, right? But the lens, if you start looking at things and you start like looking at them, and then the exhibition somehow gets emotively captioned through this curatorial stuff that we put up, all these different quotes and all these song lyrics and all the, I mean, these are only things that I can think of. I'm sure people, you know, part of the exhibition may be an interactive thing that says, you write your, what's the most profound mercy quote you have, and write it on the wall. And I'm sure we'll be like,
great idea, by the way.
You know what I mean? Like right? Because, you know, we could do that as they walk in, you know what I mean? Like have a white, have a, some kind of thing. But that's the idea, right? Is to just create the lens. I mean, my work is to elevate the work and to contextualize the work that these amazing artists are going to do. And the best thing you could do for a creative person is to just give them an opportunity and get out of their way.
Right. Exactly.
Well, can you share some of the quotes with us and how you will use the various interpretations of mercy to organize the exhibition?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said before, the exhibition is going to be broken into eight components, right? And it's just, that's just basically from my perspective. But yeah, so I was pulling quotes from all over the place. So this one, I'll just read a few of them. So this one is from Susan Sontag, and it says, 10% of any population is cruel, no matter what, and 10% is merciful, no matter what. And the remaining 80% can be moved in either direction. You know, and it's interesting that this idea, that the way she frames that is like, what is opposite of merciful is to be cruel.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And some people feel like, man, if you've wronged me and I give you mercy, I'm weak.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean being cruel is synonymous with being weak?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just all of these kind of things, right? So there's different things here. This one is Timothy Keller. Mercy and forgiveness must be free and unmerited to the wrongdoer. If the wrongdoer has to do something to merit it, then it's not mercy.
Right.
Interesting, yeah. Sure.
So, you know, it's not like, I think sometimes we have this idea that, like, there's like a self-righteousness, like, I'm the one, like, I'm so holy and mighty, like, I can grant you mercy because there's nothing wrong with me.
It's being magnanimous, right?
It's you who are, you know, whatever, has these issues, you know?
Right, and earlier you were saying about someone have to work for, like, deserving of mercy, right? And that takes away that piece of it.
Yeah, exactly. Another one here is, do not judge yourself harshly. Without mercy for ourselves, we cannot love the world. So it's almost
right.
It's like
forgiveness.
It starts with us.
It's mercy on yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Right.
Yeah.
That's the one I would think I would go to. Like I think you are. A lot of us are.
Your own worst critic.
The worst. The worst person in the world you're going to meet is yourself.
Yeah, you're hard on yourself. Yeah.
You know? Geez, there's quite a few of these. Mercy embraces all things. This is from the Quran. That previous one, do not judge yourself harshly. Without mercy for ourselves, we cannot love the world, is the Buddha. Let me see. Sorry. Here, I'm just kind of going through these things. My eyesight is not what it used to be, Dr. Bartley.
I'm not a glasses for you.
I just have my boyish frame is very misconceiving to many people. Anyway, this is Susan Meisner. I used to think mercy meant showing kindness to someone that didn't deserve it, as if only the recipient defined the act. The girl in between has learned that mercy has defined itself to the giver. Our flaws are obvious. Yet we are loved and able to love if we choose, because there is a bit of divine still smoldering in us.
Wow.
So like I just feel like these things are kind of chilling, and then to just like be looking at the work through the lens of these things, to then also the work to just have that context that should just be like a myriad of lots of possibilities. So
so although it's a grand theme, I mean, when we look at both your shows, they both are themes that are kind of apply across humanity, right? Everyone can relate to it, and the quotes you've chosen are very thought-provoking, and more than thought-provoking, they're actually emotionally provoking. You know, when you read those, you have an emotional response, which is one way, you know, to stick it to the artist, because it's an emotional response. So you aren't necessarily, that's why I was asked about the question about illustration, because I don't think at all you do an illustration. Rather, instead, these quotes are about getting you to kind of feel and be be inspired in a certain direction, and then kind of, like you said, you get out of the way and the artist marches forward.
Yeah.
Another thing that's innovative about your exhibition, too, that's the curation piece, is that you in your mind, and maybe even actually on paper, have mapped out the National Gallery into these spaces. Actually, used to be chief curator, so you know the gallery well. You know its spaces well.
Right.
So tell us more about that. How this idea of creating spaces, how is that working out? Like, when people come to the exhibit, they'll be moving through these different spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you envisioning that?
Well, I think that the space is very important, right? I mean, the ideas are ideas, but they need to kind of live within the context of they need to be framed by space. And this is another thing that I thought was interesting, too. I mean, just watching a lot of the other NEs unfold and exhibitions happen. This is one of the things I think we're going to be able to reveal to the artists, like, along the way. Once we reconcile the final list, we'll be able to talk to them about this is where I imagine your work is going to go.
So they'll know where it's going to go.
And so basically we've created this, a lot of the way I'm curating this thing, or we are curating it together, is and I mentioned this to some of the NAGB curatorial team, it's almost like, you know, when you're in the plane and you're reading the kind of emergency trifold thing about what to do in an emergency on the plane.
Right.
Like, you're just like looking at the things and you tell, like, well, where are the emergency exits? Where is this? Where can I imagine these thoughts taking place? Because in some instances, the works will be created for the space. Mm-hmm. In some instances, the works may already be in existence.
Done, yeah.
But the idea is that people have a sense of where they're going to be. So there's less surprise on the night of.
Mm-hmm. And how have artists responded? What have you heard back from people?
I mean, the ones I've spoken to are quite compelled by it. You know, quite a few people are very excited to be involved in it and think that the theme is the right, you know, the right level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will continue this after we take a quick break. And this is really a moving discussion, I must say, for myself. I'm intrigued, especially with the personal aspect of mercy. I think it's something that we don't really consider very often, but that's very, very powerful. But don't forget that the NAGB has a beautiful campus, and it's available for rental events, and you can view all options in person, of course, adhering to COVID-19 emergency protocols, or visit our website at nagb.org.bs. We'll be right back.